Well, hello, church. Open to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to be studying chapters 1 through 3 today. But I would like to read out of Proverbs 4 to start. Could I get just a little bit of light, Stephen? Thank you, brother. Proverbs 4, if you'll go to verse 5, I think this will be on the screen for you. This is what God's word says. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. So, Father, we pray that we would get wisdom today. Maybe at this point we don't even all realize how much we need her. And so that's what we need you to do for us today. We need you to convince us of our great need of wisdom. Lord, we need you to help us to see areas of foolishness and simplicity, and God, that we would leave them and that we would pursue the wisdom that you have called us to and that you made us for. And so, Lord, please help us. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need to hear from you today. Lord, we just ask that you would block out all other distractions. Anything happening in this room, anything happening in this week. Lord, there's cares and concerns of this world that are real. And what you have to say to us today could be the solution to all of them. And so please give us ears to hear. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, we're starting a series in Proverbs today. And don't ask me how long it's going to take, because I am not good at ever guessing that kind of thing. I always try, and it never works. So eventually, what I can say is eventually we will get back to the Gospel of John. But we always break up longer studies, like our study of John, with shorter studies that kind of supplement things that John isn't teaching us. And so Proverbs has a lot to say, and we have a lot to learn from Proverbs. I can tell you this, that unless you have spent much time studying Proverbs, you have underestimated its value. Most people think that Proverbs is little practical sayings and fortune cookie wisdom, and they're wrong. Proverbs gives us, there is so much value here. It is the matter of life and death. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." This means eternity hinges on these proverbs. And here's what they're going to teach us. Wisdom. Chokmah in Hebrew. What does that mean? Well, it is more than intelligence. It's more than something that you gain with old age. Here's the definition, ESV Study Bible definition. Chokmah, wisdom, is the idea of skill, particularly the skill of choosing the right course of action for the desired result. In the covenantal framework of Proverbs, that means skill in the art of godly living. So here's how, maybe a really helpful way to get your mind around this. There was a book written about 25 years ago by a man named Dan Goldman. Not a Christian, religious in any way, but he wrote a book where he really popularized the idea of emotional intelligence. EQ, you've heard of IQ, EQ, he came up with this idea of emotional intelligence. And it's basically the idea or the ability to apply the right emotions at the right time in the right way. It's really what the book of Proverbs is about when it speaks of wisdom. And so it's that you would hate, it's good to hate, but to hate the right things at the right time in the right measure. It's to love the right things at the right time. It's to do the right things at the right time. It's to say the right things at the right time or not say the wrong things at the wrong time. It's emotional intelligence is to say or do what is appropriate to the situation. So road rage, for example, okay? Road rage, someone swerves out in front of you, almost kills you. It's okay to get mad about that. It's not okay to swerve around them, slam on your brakes, endanger everybody on the road, and use profanity. Right? That's not emotional intelligence. That is something else. And you know, so many studies have shown us that IQ or a high intelligence level does not necessarily guarantee success at life. Success at life being holding a good job, building and maintaining close relationships, happiness and fulfillment. That a high IQ does not necessarily guarantee a successful life. EQ, however, this is what Goldman in this book was trying to prove, EQ much more ensures a good, successful life. So what he kind of argued in this book is that wisdom is much more needed for life than intelligence. And so, and this is a very popular accepted book in the scholarly field. So it took the elite Western scholars 3,000 years to come across the same thing that Proverbs has been saying all along, that we need wisdom for right living. And so how do you know if you have an EQ or if you have wisdom? How can you tell if you have this? Well, that's what this series is going to be about, is to try to figure that out. So obviously I'm not going to say everything that needs to be said right now, but I can start by saying it's not someone who's emotionally unstable. It's not someone who doesn't weigh out the consequences of their choices. Wisdom is the ability to not entertain every thought or pursue every emotion. Wisdom is the awareness that my own heart and ideas can't always be trusted, but the Lord can. Wisdom is clear thinking that weighs out the consequences of actions. It diligently seeks the right things at the right time. It's the renewed mind that it has the ability to test and discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's wisdom. Colossians 1:9 says it like this. Paul asks and prays for the church that they be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So wisdom's the ability to understand the will of the Lord and then do it. Wisdom is the ability to make the best use of the time because you don't have much of it. Your days are numbered. This is ground level Christianity. Maybe you have noticed this about Christianity. It is not very hard to study this book and get your theological categories and doctrinal knowledge all situated. It's much more difficult to just have good character. What is the value in being able to wax eloquent biblically and understand the things here if you can't love your wife, or you can't train up your children, or you can't hold a job, or you're lazy? This is ground level Christianity. This is why someone once termed, I don't know who came up with this term, but lopsided Christianity. Some Christians are lopsided. And I like what one scholar said. He said, the book of Proverbs is pushing toward the formation of the whole person. That's what we need. The formation of the whole person. Because we don't want to be the guy who has his theological library all situated, but doesn't know how to clean his room, hold down a job, sleeps too late. We don't want to be the woman who has her daily devotions and it's all nice and good, and then your hands aren't hard at work the rest of the day. We don't want to be someone who's diligent at work but then comes home and can't control themselves with food or entertainment. We don't want to be the person who talks gentle and kind to strangers but then lashes out on their own family verbally. And so Proverbs is working toward the formation of the whole person. And it's what we need. And it's why we need wisdom. So, and here's what we need to understand about wisdom. It doesn't just fall in your lap, okay? You're not going to get wisdom just hearing a sermon on wisdom. Sorry. You're not going to get wisdom just because you get older. All right, you don't get wisdom because you grow a beard or because you don't lose it when you cut it off. All right, wisdom is something that is acquired through diligent effort. If you're going to get wisdom, you've got to go get it. You've got to seek and find it. And so here's how I want to seek and find wisdom today. In Proverbs, we're going to try to cover three chapters, which is incredibly ambitious, especially since we're used to doing like three verses. So I'm not going to read them all right now. We'll just talk as we go, and we'll take each chapter will be each point of this sermon, and I have 3 points. So the call of wisdom we'll find in Proverbs 1, the value of wisdom will be Proverbs 2, and the blessing of wisdom, Proverbs 3. So the call, the value, and the blessing of wisdom. Let's start with the call of wisdom. Proverbs 1, we'll start in verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the market, she raises her voice, and at the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gate, she speaks. Lady wisdom, right? Wisdom being personified as a lady. And all the women don't mind that, do you? Wisdom personified as a woman, you're like, that's right. We'll take that. Proverbs calls wisdom a lady. Traditionally, Christians have called this lady wisdom. Just to clarify real quick, maybe none of you have heard of this before, but it is not what feminist movements have called Sophia, which is the Greek word for wisdom, but they have called Sophia this goddess or godlike. God basically makes himself wisdom and becomes a woman. Right? It's a strong feminist voices out there trying to push forward this idea. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Roman Catholic dogmas that have called holy wisdom Hagiae Sophia, God the Mother. We're not talking about that. And we're not talking about the wise female goddesses in many pagan religions and some Gnosticism, in Wicca. All right, there's a lot of ideas of a womanly wisdom character in all kinds of different literature out there, but that is not what Proverbs is talking about. God isn't becoming a woman or being called a woman. Wisdom is personified as a lady. And this is wisdom literature, okay? One thing to be familiar with is what, you know, we're moving out of John, which is a very different type of literary genre than Proverbs. And we'll get into this more in the coming weeks, but what wisdom literature seeks to do often is take more abstract ideas and beautify them and make them desirable. You know, it's one thing to just say, get wisdom. And you're like, get her. That's how it says it. It's more poetic. Right? It's a different literary genre. And so let's look at Proverbs 4 again. I love how it describes the attaining of wisdom. It says, get wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. And so she's speaking to us, calling us to come and find her. You know, I don't know about you, but there's different seasons of my life where I feel I'm called to or need to go get something I don't have. It's like when I first became a Christian, I thought, I need to get disciples. I need to make disciples. And so like I became a Christian right before college. So in between my classes, I was out sharing the gospel with people before and after class, just trying to talk to everybody I could about the gospel. And then I was a few people who actually wanted to sit down and study the Bible. I would sit with them and just try to teach whatever I was learning, which I didn't know what I was doing. And then as I began to do that, I began to realize, I think I want to be in ministry forever. I think that's what I want to do. And so I started trying to discern, what type of ministry should I do? And this burden came over me, and I began to talk to different people and try out different types of ministry, go on mission trips. I became a youth minister for a season, led a college ministry, just like, what am I supposed to do? Everything in me felt, I have to make disciples, and I need to figure out how I'm supposed to do this. And then that burden turned into, okay, I've got a lot of passion. I got a lot of things I want to say, but I don't really know what to say. And I don't really have much valuable things to say because I haven't really studied this book very much. And so this overwhelming sense of urgency came over me where I would spend 8 and 10 hours just in the Word a day, just listening to teaching, reading as many books as I could find, just trying to get my mind full of God's thoughts. And then it led to another burden. Okay, I'm seeing things in Scripture now. Oh God, I've got to preach these things. And I can't preach. And I don't know how to teach these. And so God, give me power to preach your word. And I began to just seek him for that. And then this other season came where I realized, what does it even matter if I'm preaching the Bible and teaching and making disciples and all that, if I can't love my wife? And if I can't train my children, what's the value? God, make me a godly husband. And I say all that to say, I feel like I'm moving into this season where this overwhelming burden for probably about the last year, wisdom, John Mark, get wisdom. The Lord is just calling me to this. It's the greatest need in my life, it seems. Now, I don't know what, as we study this, what some of you are going to feel burdened. I don't know if you're going to receive this like this is on my heart lately. You know, maybe some of you'll go, I need wisdom. Lord, give this to me. And you'll just get burdened to seek out and find wisdom. And I think for others of you, you're just going to, maybe you won't. Maybe you're just no desire. You're just like, okay, that's, you know, and you'll think about it while we're here. And when you leave here, you won't think about it again. And whether you're the person who just has this burden to get wisdom and this passion to get it, or whether you're just not even thinking of it, listen, either way, wisdom is calling out to you. Look at the passage. Verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gate, she speaks. And she's not just calling to us here in the church. She's calling out in our culture, in the businesses around, in the city. The noise of constant social media, she is calling out. And she is saying, verse 22, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? What does it mean to be simple? It means you're not firmly committed to wisdom or to folly. It means you're undisciplined. It means you're easily misled and given in to temptation. That's what the Proverbs are calling simple. And so, I mean, if we were really honest, there's really nothing much is going to happen for you studying Proverbs if you're perfectly content to stay simple, if you love your simplicity, if you hate knowledge, do you no good. And there's some of you here that you are perfectly content to know what you know and to keep doing what you're doing, even if it's wrong. And Proverbs calls that foolishness. And then there's others of you here who you want wisdom, and there is a desire for that, but you don't have the discipline to go get it. You ever experienced that? You're like, I know I need to go do this thing or get, and you just can't carry it out. And the Bible calls that simplicity. Simple-mindedness. And verse 22 says, how long will you stay there? How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you hate knowledge? Now, a few people are going to say, oh yeah, I hate knowledge. You know, nobody. But what you have to ask yourself to figure this out is to say, am I teachable? Do I really want to learn and grow? Or how about this one? Am I really ready to change a behavior or a habit that I've been practicing for years that isn't wise, that isn't helpful or loving, that isn't God-honoring? Are you really willing to get self-control with entertainment or food or money or sexuality? Are you ready to finally wake up and live? And wisdom's calling. She's there. She's available to anyone who would seek her and find her. Where's your heart? There is more laziness and carelessness and apathy and aimlessness of in living in all of our lives than any of us would care to admit. And it would probably be helpful just to start by admitting that. None of us are as wise as we think we are, and even the wisest among us have much to learn. Chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, wisdom is for the simple to gain understanding and the wise to increase in learning. You know, our children, they aren't born wise. Those of us who are parents, we know that. They're born simple. And Proverbs says foolishness is bound up in their heart. And that foolishness doesn't leave, and the simplicity doesn't leave just because they get older. Children who are simple and foolish, you know what they turn into? Adults that are simple and foolish. If you have a foolish, simple teenager, they don't just grow out of it. It doesn't work like that. They turn into a foolish adult. Wisdom must be acquired. It must be sought after. You know, some older people are extremely wise. We have some in this church, praise the Lord. But you know how you get wise? You go get it. You spend years acquiring wisdom. And then there's older people that are extremely foolish because they spent years despising wisdom and knowledge and pushing it away and just being very content with simplicity. And that's the definition of a fool. So it'll do us good to have the humility and the self-awareness to realize I haven't acquired as much wisdom as I think I have or as others might think I have. That's a good place to start. You know, and here's where most people are. When life is good, we don't seek after wisdom, and we don't cry out to God. But when life begins to crumble, and the job is falling apart, and the family is falling apart, then people cry out for wisdom. But listen to what wisdom has to say about that. Verse 24, because I have called to you and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. And very few people will own that. Most people stiff arm something like that. That's not me. What are you talking about? That my sleeping in and what I look at on the internet and how much I eat and all this, that's not rebellion against God. I read my Bible. I'm at church. What are you talking about? Of course I follow God. Look at verse 32. It says, the complacency of fools destroys them. You realize that most people aren't shaking their fist at God in rage and anger. They're just complacent, just apathetic, could care less. They're like, who cares? Go to work, make some money, you know? Go hang out with my friends, go watch this show. Like, complete complacency about everything that matters in life. And the complacency of fools destroys them. But the good news, verse 33, whoever listens to me, that is wisdom speaking, whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. That's good news. So that's the call of wisdom, number one. These next 2 points will be really fast. Number two, the value of wisdom. I think the value of wisdom is seen most clearly in verse 8. We're in Proverbs 2, verse 8. It says, she's guarding the paths of and watching over the way of his saints. How does wisdom guard the path and watch over the saints? Two ways. She leads us in good, and she keeps us from evil. So listen to how Lady Wisdom leads us in good. This is in verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. You will understand every good path. One of the ways wisdom will teach you a good path is to show you that it's actually good. If you don't have wisdom, you look at a good path and it doesn't look like a good path. Wisdom allows you to recognize a good path as a good path. That the Lord's ways are actually good. It says, verse 10, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Jump down to verse 20. You will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those who walk in integrity will remain in it. So how do you remain in the good path and make it to the end and inherit the land? Wisdom. Wisdom leads you in the good path. One thing I was thinking about the other day was how, you know, you can't get away from the idea of a foolish person in Proverbs. This is the juxtaposed, the opposite of wisdom. I was thinking about a foolish person. Why do people do foolish things? Well, it's not because they're intellectually stupid. It's because they're morally rebellious. Foolishness is not intellectual stupidity. Foolishness is moral rebellion. And listen to how Lady Wisdom keeps us from that rebellion and keeps us from that evil. Verse 11, discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Listen, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Many Christians wonder, how do I break free from sexual sin? Answer, wisdom. Wisdom will break you free. I just want to name it. I want to tell you what the answer is. We'll unpack this more in the coming weeks. Wisdom is how you break free. We must be wise men and women of God, not just thinking rightly about the Bible, but living rightly in the world. That's what wisdom will do for us. It trains our minds, our bodies, our mouths to turn away from evil and to choose the good. And we need it. It's valuable. You know, so many guys, they want to meet the right girl, but until you meet Lady Wisdom, you will ruin the right girl. This is valuable. This is valuable. And then thirdly, the blessing of wisdom. Let's start in verse 13, chapter 3, Proverbs 3, 13. Blessed, Hebrew word could be translated happy, blessed. Happy is the one who finds wisdom. That blessedness is that ultimate and eternal happiness that all people long for, but is only found when you get wisdom. And I say ultimate and eternal happiness because not all happiness that can be found on this earth comes through wisdom. Like, for example, Proverbs 15:21 says that folly is a joy to him who has no sense. Folly is a joy to him who has no sense. There are types of happiness that can be found in the world that are foolish and that will end in destruction. But there is a type of happiness that is enduring and eternal that wisdom will bring you. And it's a blessing. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Some of us, and I know we go through seasons in which this fluctuates, maybe even during the same day this could fluctuate, where there's discontentment in your heart. You know, some of you don't like your job. You don't like your circumstances in life. You want things to change. You want better health. You want a higher paying job. You want a nicer house. You want relationship problems to be fixed and get better. And there's this discontentment. It's just there. It seems to come over you. And could I just lay before us, wisdom could be what you really need. And that's what this passage says. Look at verse 14. For the grain from her is better than grain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. And listen, nothing you desire can compare with her. That's an amazing statement. Nothing you desire can compare with her. You need her. And let's end looking at verse 18. This really climaxes, in my opinion, in verse 18, gets to the best part of the blessing of wisdom. It says, she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So she, wisdom, is called a what? Tree of life. What does that mean? How is a tree a way of life? I think when many of us think of the tree of life, what do we think of? Genesis, right? We go back to Genesis, we think about the garden, how God said to Adam, don't eat from the tree, right? He was not supposed to eat from the tree of life. If you eat of that tree, you will die. And Adam ate of it, he died, he failed. And then we remember, if we jump forward a few centuries, we remember another person in a garden. Jesus Christ himself was in a garden. And God said to Jesus, will you obey me regarding the tree? And Jesus obeyed regarding the tree. Have you ever noticed how in the New Testament, numerous times it says that Jesus died on a tree? Ever thought that's weird? It's kind of a cross. What do you mean it's a tree, right? Well, it came from wood. I guess maybe in that sense it's a tree. It's kind of a weird way to describe the cross. But you see it in Acts, 1 Peter 2, Galatians 3. It says they hung him on a tree. I don't know how strange that is to you, but I think it's significant. Adam is in the garden, called to obey God regarding a tree. He didn't. He disobeyed, and that disobedience brought death to all his descendants. Jesus, in a garden, the second Adam, is called to obey God regarding the tree. He obeys, and his obedience brings life to all his descendants. I remember Genesis 3, after sin came into the world, what was put around this tree? There was the tree was in the garden there before sin, and then there was flaming swords that guarded the way to the tree of life so that nobody could come to the tree and eat it and live forever. Remember that? Jesus came and made that tree available again to us. He made that tree a life-giving resource. You realize that the only time the tree of life is mentioned is Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and Revelation. At the very, very beginning of the Bible, when all things were perfect, and at the very, very end, when all things will be perfect and he recreates the world, the tree of life will be there. The only other time the Bible mentions the tree of life is in Proverbs, related to wisdom. What am I getting at? That the wisdom of God is the tree and what Jesus accomplished on it. We know this because 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says this, we preach Christ crucified, the wisdom of God. Where is wisdom fully and finally realized? In the death of Christ on the cross, to be received by faith and to give us life. It's eating from the tree of life. You don't need to pick from the tree in the garden anymore. You go to Christ, trust his death on that tree, and you get life. The beauty of the gospel. It's the wisdom of God. Jesus went to the tree to die so that we could go to the tree and live. And now we can eat from the forbidden tree fully and finally in Jesus and in his gospel. And then we live forever. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. God, give us wisdom. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I don't know what you want to accomplish in Proverbs in our lives. Lord, I know my ambitions are probably very small for what I was hoping from this sermon this morning. I was just mainly wanting us to want wisdom. But God, you might want to save somebody through this. Lord, you might want to grant someone the wisdom to finally see what Christ did on the cross and to receive it for eternal life. Lord, the gospel is that simple and that beautiful, and we are thankful. Thank you, Jesus, for coming down and restoring the tree of life to your people. Thank you for granting us wisdom. And we pray you would grant us more, and that we could leave foolishness and leave simplicity and press on to the blessedness of wisdom that you want for us. And so, Lord, we just ask for help. We admit we're not that smart. We make a lot of stupid decisions, and we need your help, and we need more wisdom. So grow in us these desires and help us to seek for and attain her. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who makes all these things possible. And we pray it in his name. Amen.